Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome. Sports to the Max is on the air. Minnesota Twins baseball is on the air, everybody. I've waited a long time to say that because I've never had the opportunity to play-by-play, but tonight I may make my debut, self-appointed. I'm in Tampa, where the Minnesota Twins are playing the New York Yankees, doing our show from high atop Steinbrenner Field at the Yankee Complex, outside with Tampa Bay Buccaneers have Raymond James Stadium. The Twins are leading the New York Yankees 2-1 right now in the fourth inning. Tyler Austin just hit a bomb on Phil Hughes. Bobby Wilson, non-roster invitee, with a home run for the Twins, for accounting for their two runs. So they're in the fourth inning. They're trying to get a good look at Phil Hughes tonight, and a lot of hard-hit balls so far. He's only given up the one run, but they've, with some lesser knowns, have gotten some pretty good swings on it. And if you're a pitching guru, what you look for is he throwing it by him or is he fooling him? Can he do one of those two things? If you can flat out throw it by someone, you got a spot in the rotation. If you can consistently fool someone because your breaking stuff is so good, you got a shot. But you got to watch the foul balls as much as the fair balls. And watching that tonight, they're getting the fat part of the bat on it. Remember when I played in college, you'd always say, if you can get the fat part of the bat on it, get your hands out in front and get your hips rotated. And that means you're doing everything right and you don't have to worry about where the ball goes. You're going to have a good season, a good year. Well, New York's had a lot of balls that they've hit hard. So he hasn't fooled them and he hasn't thrown it by anybody. And he is, with the additional Lance Lynn, fighting for a spot on this team. I don't know how they could use him in long relief, but they're paying him a lot of money. And so he's going to have to stick around one way or the other. I just don't know if he doesn't fit in the rotation, what you would do with Phil Hughes. He gave him four innings tonight and gave up just the one run. But like I said, they hit the ball fairly hard on him and didn't look like they were fooled very often. He certainly doesn't have the commanding, doesn't have the big-time fastball. His night is done, so we'll see some more. And I got to tell you, the storyline here tonight in the New York Yankees and Minnesota Twins is the weather. And I know people hate when you come down to spring training and complain about the weather. But it is cold out there. And as the sun dries down and the wind picks up, it is getting really pretty cold. Like in the 50s, and it feels like it's in the 40s. And everybody out there has a sweatshirt or a jacket. Or I'm leading the Fan in the Stands tour as well. And so I sat with them before the game. And I strongly recommended and advised them that they might want to leave early tonight, like after about three innings or four or five innings, because going back to Fort Myers, it's about a 2.5-hour drive, and it's chilly. Fortunately, from Holiday Vacations, they have the amazing Lori leading the tour with me, and she had an extra jacket because I did not. And I was an eyelash away from buying a New York Yankees sweatshirt tonight, folks. And wearing it up here in the press box because it's been that cold here. Anyway, been fun down here at spring training so far. Lance Lynn will make his, tomorrow we'll do his press conference in the morning. We'll attend that. He, of course, the big news of the week and the number of different additions that they've made on this team. Logan Morrison we had on yesterday in the sports huddle. He's a big-time first baseman. He's going to make his debut for the Twins tomorrow. He's been banged up a little bit, but he'll play tomorrow for the Twins. Get his first chance against the Baltimore Orioles. Odorizzi, we've seen some. And now Lynn will, I'm sure he won't pitch tomorrow, but tomorrow they'll make it official. It took a little bit longer than they would have liked because of the physical and the doctors and all the people that have to sign off on it. But 1 year, $12 million. Now think about this. I was talking to Brian Dozier about this today. The Twins, when this season gets over, as of now, unless they renegotiate during the year, they're going to be on the hook for almost nothing. I mean, a one-year deal to him. Mauer's in the last year of his contract. Dozier's in the last year of his contract. I think Irvin Santana's in the last year of his contract. that's a lot of one-year deals. And then you've got the young guys like Buxton and Kepler that you still control. So you're going to have a lot of flexibility going into next year in what, depending on if teams sign or extend, could be an all-star year for free agents. There may be more good free agents next year at this time than we've seen in the last several years, because it just, if everybody plays out their contract, and it's going to get real interesting as to what kind of money they throw at these guys. If this is an aberration that we saw this year, or is this analytics 2.1 kicking in, and these guys aren't going to get the money that they once did. Anyway, down here there's a sense of optimism. There always is during spring training. This year a little bit different because of the additions that they made and the fact they're coming off a playoff run last year. So everybody feels good. Every spring training, everybody feels good. This year just seems to be a bit more merited. There seems to be a more, you know, you sit with a Byron Buxton and you realize that he's confident now. He realizes, and he struck out twice so far tonight, but that's not going to faze him anymore. He's not going to have a sleepless night because of it. He's coming up to bat right now, in fact. He's going to be just fine on that end. That's kind of the confidence that you get in this team right now. And then part of that comes with veterans. Jason Castro is one of those veterans. He'll catch for the Twins this year, and he'll handle most of it now with Jimenez moving on. But he came here last year and said he sensed that about him. And I remember saying, yeah, right. You haven't been watching this team then if you think this team has a conference is ready for a breakout year. Well, obviously they did. Whether he was guessing or not, I don't know. But earlier today in the Twins clubhouse, I had a chance to sit down and talk to him about the prospects of 2018 and beyond. Spring training number two for you with the Minnesota Twins. How is that different when you come in? You know the pitching staff at least to a degree.
Yeah, it makes a pretty big difference, obviously, having gone through a season with most of these guys. You know, you're kind of not starting from scratch, so continuing to build off of things we were working on last year, and you know, we do have a handful of new faces, so you know that kind of mimics you know my goals from last year a little bit, trying to learn some of these guys and just try to hit the ground running once the season starts. So a little bit of both this year, so that's kind of nice.
Let's talk about some of those new additions that some of you know because you played against Fernando Rodney. What's he like? What do you see?
You know, really good stuff. Obviously, the presence in the back of the bullpen is big time. He's kind of been around a while, and he's done it. So to have a guy like that in the back of the pen is great. You know, he can come at you with some plus velocity, and he's got some good off-speed, you know, options, and he knows how to pitch. So, you know, he's definitely going to be someone we're going to lean on in those later innings.
And then you signed Lind, obviously, and you haven't caught him yet per se, but what do you do now? What's the process like when you get a new pitcher like that with the catcher?
I'm just trying to figure out what he likes to do, you know, kind of what he likes to fall back on in certain situations and kind of what makes him tick on the mound. So I've faced him a decent amount when the Astros were in the NL Central, so I kind of know how he likes to pitch a little bit, so that's a little bit of kind of an advantage coming in, just kind of understanding what he likes to do and how to attack guys. So you know, looking forward to getting to catch him though.
What is he like? What is it? Describe his style.
Kind of a bulldog on the mound. He really likes to just attack guys. You know, plus velocity. He's got some good off-speed options as well. But you know, he's not afraid to come right at you with some fastballs and you know say here it is, try to hit it, and you know, it's been really successful for him.
Got some new rules about trips to the mound. How does that affect the catcher? What do you got to think about?
You just got to really make sure you're having a purpose when you go out there and try to take care of as many things in between innings as you can. It's going to be, you know, for me, I don't think it's going to be a huge shift from kind of how I've operated in the past, but definitely have to be more mindful you know, maybe an unnecessary amount of it.
Everybody likes a nicely paced game, though, don't they? I mean, players, too. I mean, nobody wants to stand around for 3.5 hours.
I mean, especially me being a catcher, obviously. You know, the quicker the pace, the better. And that's not, you know, something that guys are looking to stand around and, you know, play long games. So it's definitely something that we're invested in. And you know, we want to play quick, exciting baseball, you know, just like the fans want to watch it.
You know, I was talking about baseball being up the middle of the game, catcher, shortstop, second baseman, center fielder, obviously pitcher. All of a sudden, you know, last year we didn't know a lot about Jason Castro, what Brian Dozier was at, Polanco, Buxton.
it's become kind of a team strength. It seems like a year later, it's got a lot more certainty than it has uncertainty.
Yeah, I mean, this team, you know, fortunate for us, we have a lot of guys that are most of the roster is coming back from last year, and so to have that continuity is, you know, it's going to be big. We've added some really important pieces, but I think the guys that are coming back, the kind of core group from last year, is an exciting group, and I think it's going to be another fun year.
Last, what was your impressions of the culture last year of this team? Because you came, and you said, hey, it was a good spring training, and we all said, hang on, man, you haven't been around here. This hasn't been a good place, you know, they've been losing. And you saw this thing through. What did you see that maybe we didn't see?
So I think the one thing I was pleasantly surprised with was, regardless of kind of what had happened in the past, it seemed like everyone had kind of thrown that away, and everyone was really positive from the get-go, and you know,
you
could
feel that, huh?
Yeah, as a group, you know, it was less focused on, you know, if we're losing games, it wasn't like, you know, geez, we need to look in the mirror and figure out what's going on. It was like, all right, throw that one out, let's come back tomorrow and try to win. And I think that kind of mentality allowed us to bounce back from kind of those rough spots a little bit easier than if you kind of dwell on those losses. So that kind of upbeat, positive group mentality really, really helped out.
Starting pitching, right?
And starting pitching, yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate
you. Always starting pitching. Now, this, I'm clear my throat here. I don't get to do this often. It's Minnesota Twins and New York Yankees. Let me set the stage. It's the top of the fifth inning. The Twins lead it 2-1. Byron Buxton just struck out for the third time. And Eric Eibach is now hitting against Shreve Kassin. He just bounced one to first base, and that will end the inning, so I don't get to do my... I was all set to do play-by-play of that one at bat. Hopefully I can work one in here before the night is over. Don't forget the 7 o'clock hour belongs to Ron Shera. I'll be down here. He'll be up there. And he will regale us with some of his tales from when he was down in Florida trying to catch a bass with Kent Herbeck, or the time the alligator got away from him. And I'll let him tell it. But that'll be in the 7 o'clock hour. Ryan Iverson's going to join us tonight in the 8 o'clock hour. Talk some basketball. He is throughout the state, of course, former star at Eden Prairie, and played Division I college basketball as well. Football player of the year in this state. We'll talk to him about some of the high school players that he's seen in the NCAA tournament as it approaches. Gopher women's basketball team is in, as expected, a 10 seed. That seems awfully low to me for a team that finished third in the Big Ten. Had a lot of big wins. Beat Maryland, beat Iowa there in the playoffs, almost beat Ohio State. They're going to play Wisconsin-Green Bay on Friday at 4 o'clock in Eugene, Oregon. So figure that one out. Wisconsin-Green Bay is a 7 seed. The Gophers are number 10 seed. Ran into some folks out here from Dakota at spring training, and they said beware of South Dakota State in the men's tournament. And they drew Ohio State in round one. And there's been at least a little conversation that this one has a chance at an upset. I don't know what they're basing on. I haven't seen South Dakota State play this year. They're at Brookings. But they had that great football year and now a great basketball year. They've got things going in the right direction out there. So when they change this conference so that North Dakota State, South Dakota, and South Dakota State are in the same conference, finally, Division One, you're going to have some natural rivalries there, some easier travel time for the fans. And that's got a chance to really have some juice. All those programs have benefited from going to Division One. North Dakota's got that beautiful Laris Arena up there. North Dakota State has kind of owned it in football and been pretty good in basketball. And then you throw South Dakota and South Dakota State in there, and you get back to that NCC rivalry days. That should be pretty good going down the stretch. So that's going to be interesting to watch next year. Ron Shearer on the 7 o'clock hour. Zach Duke will join us. We'll visit with him. Taylor Rogers from the Minnesota Twins, and much more in the 8 o'clock hour. And as I mentioned, Ryan Iverson.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I got to tell you, this is just not working out. I was all set to do my play-by-play debut, and we had an out and couldn't do it. And then the Yankees came up to bat, and during that entire commercial break, they were retired. Brett Gardner at the plate. They had a runner thrown out at second base to end the inning. And so far it has not been meant to be. But what I'm hoping is at some point in time in the 7 o'clock hour, There'll be a point in time there when Ron begins to drone on and start to talk about one of his epic hunts or fishing excursions, where I'll try to steer the conversation away again and give you some play-by-play. I'm live in Tampa tonight where the Minnesota Twins are taking on the New York Yankees. So at some point in time, and you and I, meaning the audience, all know that there's that period of time always when Ron gets long-winded, and I'll try to break away from that. And I'll do it gently, you know, so he doesn't realize that we're doing it to him. And then I'll give you some play-by-play, hopefully, to give the show some life for sure. And, to, you know, we've heard some of these stories time and time again from Ron, so I'll just try to kind of sneak it over here and liven up the broadcast a little bit. And it kind of be our secret. I'm not going to say to Ron that I'm going to do it. It's not going to be premeditated, or at least he's not going to think so. But when he gets on one of those glorified stories where he's the hero outdoors with, you know, the big bow and all that, I'll just kind of gently take the mic away from him and make my play-by-play debut from down here in spring training Tampa. Minnesota Twins lead it 2-1 over the New York Yankees. Live Outdoors is coming up next on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.